Good morning, everybody, and let me just say up front, praise the good Lord for the wonderful rain that we've all been experiencing on the Mid-North Coast and North Coast and up in Queensland and further inland. God is, He will continue to be, and has always been a good, good Father, and He gives us those things that we need. So we just need to praise Him and thank Him for the wonderful watch care that He has over us. Now let's reflect a little bit. No one can argue that this year has been vastly different than anything that any of us have ever experienced. Now, I'm not going to take the time to list those things because you know what they are. But at times, it's been a little bit troubling. And there have been times it's been confusing. But let me ask you something. Was it this crazy in the day that Jesus was born? Was it this confusing? Well, have you ever thought very much about what was going on when Jesus was born? I believe that before we can experience the full impact of Jesus the Savior being born, we need to know what people were thinking, what they were experiencing. What would have been on the news if they had had the news? So today we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what was going on politically, which was a big thing in that day. And also we're going to look at what was going on religiously, because these are the two things that the Jews focused on more than anything else. So we have a lot of information. But before we take a look, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the wonderful rain. Thank you for the ability to come inside at the chapel at Garden Village and stay out of the weather. You are a good, good Father, and we could spend the rest of our day today just praising you and thanking you and listing all the wonderful things that you have given to us in this very confusing and sometimes scary year. But you've still been on the scene, and we praise you for that. Thank you that our confidence can be in you, and you have never let anyone Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's get started. Most people would say there are two things that they focus on more than anything, and that would be religion and politics. I've also been told that you don't mix religion and politics, but the Jews did that all the time, so just giving you fair warning, we're going to be mixing religion and politics. First, let's look at the politics of Jesus' day. Now, before you turn me off, I'm sure some people were thinking about doing that right then. I'm going to keep it short and to the point, and I promise I won't engage with any politically biased attitudes. So let's take a look. In Jesus' day, soldiers regularly patrolled the streets. Now, I'm not talking about teenage boys carrying machine guns. These were battle-hardened Roman soldiers that represented an oppressive regime. Most of the time, if a person had a personal opinion that you wanted to put on Facebook, if it was around and it wasn't, you would keep that to yourself, because you feared for your life. No free speech in the day that Jesus was born. Under Herod, the current Roman leader, many thousands of Jews died trying to push their opinions. But you see, Herod was one of those paranoid people, and even his family didn't fare any better, because Herod assassinated many of his own family because he was afraid somebody was scheming to take his throne from him. So he killed them. And if you don't think he's crazy with his paranoia, then let's take a look at what he did to the Hebrew children when he heard from the wise men that there was a new king in town. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascended or he had ascertained from the wise men. And you really think we've got it bad today? Not really. You may think it's a bit rough to talk about the massacre of children, but I want you to get your head around what's actually going on at Jesus' birth or shortly thereafter. We need to know that if we can really experience the blessings of why he came. Let's go back to Herod. His totalitarian approach and equal opportunity massacres were something that would make the dictators of the last 100 years look weak. But God dealt with it. And God took Herod's life in a very gruesome way, which we're just not going to get into today. Finally, Herod is gone. But unfortunately, the one who followed him, the 19-year-old Archelaus, took the lead, and he was just as paranoid as Herod. He was scared to death that somebody was going to divide the kingdom, so his surveillance was reaching every part of the kingdom. Finally, a bunch of Jews have had enough, and then one day when a bunch of Roman soldiers was coming to attack in the temple, the Jews revolted and they killed all the Roman soldiers that were there. Archelaus sent in his army, and thousands of Jews in the temple were exterminated. So such is the politics of the days when Jesus was born. Would you wanted to have lived then? Don't think so. So now let's talk about the religion of the day. Well, there was a couple of belief systems going around. One of them was Herod worship. We won't get into that. But we're going to look a little closer at Judaism. We all know that through Moses, God started a Jewish system of worship where he himself, Jehovah God, was the very center of things. And things worked well while God was the central focus. But then religion took hold of it and divided it into four factions. Religion will divide, you know. First, let's look at the zealots. These guys would fight anyone who they disagreed with. We've got some of them around today. And then the Sadducees. Well, the Sadducees held to most of the traditional ideas of the Jewish dogma of the Jewish faith, but there was just one thing that they didn't believe in, and it was the resurrection of the dead. It's kind of sad, you see. Then we have the Pharisees, and these guys were the legalists of the day. They dogmatically held to the faith, the Jewish faith, so much so that they would judge and exclude anyone who would dare question them. We have some of those around too. The only trouble is these guys made up a bunch of laws apart from God's laws, and they would hold to their own man-made laws stronger than they would hold to God's laws. Listen to what Jesus had to say about them in Matthew 23, verses 23 through 24. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Pretty strong. "For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are the things they ignored. Jesus continues, these you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Then Jesus exposed their hypocrisy in verse number 27 and 28. Listen to what he says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within you're full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Clearly, Jesus was not impressed with them. With the zealots, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, let me ask you, how would you have liked to have had these guys as your religious leaders? Then there was one more. They were the Essenes. These guys were so fed up with everything that was going on that they moved off into the mountains and they isolated themselves there. Today, and for the last couple of hundred years, I guess probably the last 1,000 years, there's a lot of people that just move into the mountains or out bush and isolating themselves. That's not what Jesus told us to do. He did say, go into all the world. He didn't say hide. He said, let your light shine so men can see your works and glorify God, who is in heaven. So that's what it was like in Jesus' day. That was the political scene, and that was the religious scene. You know, I think I'll stay right now in this day and age with coronavirus and everything that's going on. But it was into this mixed up and completely perverted culture that God sent his son, Jesus, to be born. To a group of shepherds watching their sheep on a lonely night in Bethlehem, God sent a message that the whole world needed to hear. Luke records, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I like this next part. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The message of Christmas that came that night was peace and hope. And that peace and hope can change the whole world. In that little baby that was resting in the manger was infused the hope of the entire world. You see, Jesus can repair your politics, and Jesus can clean out your religion. Can you say hallelujah? Perhaps your Bible changes the wording of that last verse a little bit. Let me read it to you in the New Translations. The angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let me share you one verse that will clear up any confusion. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So I believe this is what I believe. I believe that faith in God and faith in the work of his son Jesus will please God. That's what he wants. He wants us to believe in him. And when we do that, it will bring into our lives the peace and hope that was promised at Christmas. In that faith, listen, that faith in God and in the finished work of Jesus includes all the promises of the New Testament. What a gift that would be. But now let me ask you something. The promises of Christmas, isn't that exactly what all of us want? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. We're thankful for a Christmas season, though this year just a little bit different. But help us to lay aside all the traditions that so distract from the reason of Christmas. And help us to focus on the promises of Christmas. The promise of hope. The promise of peace. And it was all wrapped up in that baby that was named Jesus. I pray that today, whoever is listening would seriously consider a belief in God and in the work of Jesus, to where they too can experience the promise of Christmas in their lives. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.